Hey there, I am Heidi Powell, and you have made it to Heidi's Lane. I am a mom of four beautiful kids, a health enthusiast, and an entrepreneur who, just like everybody else, is learning to navigate the joys, the grief, the love, the messes, and everything in between on this beautiful highway we call life. Now, nothing is off the table here in my lane, so I invite you to cozy up, grab a cup of coffee, join me right here on my couch for real, raw, vulnerable conversation that hopefully helps you learn and grow through this journey with me. I am so grateful you are here. Welcome to Heidi's Lane. I'm going to try to make today's episode a little bit shorter. Actually, hopefully I did, and you clicked on it because you're like, oh my gosh, she did a 15-minute podcast. That's amazing. Hers are always so long. And then I'm also going to start cutting some of these in the future into part one and part two episodes, because I do realize that while there's so much good content, it's hard to digest an entire hour in a week. Like, I am someone, I have a hard time re-listening to them because I have a busy life, right? And so, yeah, I hear you. I'm going to go shorter from here on out, or I'm going to try my best to. And if it goes long, I'll cut it in half for you. But I feel like after a week off, remember last week we did a spring break. Actually, I did a break. And man, I needed a break. I did. And not because I don't love being here. I absolutely love being here. But with spring break, it was like so many things happened all at once, right? It was spring break for, I had a full week with two kids off school, two kids on school. So there was juggling with that. And then the next week was still spring break and all the kids were off school. So I had all four of them for half the week. And then I had a little bit of time off. I don't even want to say off, because are you ever really off as a mom? And it's not a thing that I want to be off of, but I had a little time alone and I had to go out of town for that weekend. And then back in town, I hear my phone chiming somewhere. Let me turn that thing off. But back in town, entered Easter week. Like, I didn't even realize it was Easter week until spring break was over. Like, I don't even know how it hit so fast. And so I was quick. I didn't have my kids for Easter this year. So I had to hurry and get everything ready by Saturday so we could celebrate an early Easter before they went back to their dad's home and came back to me. And anyway, you get it. You're all, not all of you. Many of you guys are parents. A lot of you guys are divorced parents and single parents. And so you understand that. And all of you are busy. You all have very busy lives. So it kind of hit me out of nowhere. I appreciate you allowing me to take a break. And I know I don't need anyone's permission, but so last week, as of the time I'm recording this, by the time I post it, it's going to be 2 weeks ago. Last week was my birthday. I'm officially 42 and I feel great at 42. I didn't know that I would feel great at 42, and I do, thank goodness. And also 3 days after my birthday was Easter. And, you know, while those full weeks can feel like a lot, they can feel super heavy. There's one word that comes to mind for this season of my life that I'm in. And really this word has directed most of my life. And if I'm being honest, you know, the year I talk about often, that I'm going to call it the dark ages, the year and a half of my life that felt really dark. And it started with my anxiety in August 2022, led into my best friend's death in February 2023, and lasted about a full year beyond that. And I feel like just recently, I am emerging from the dark ages. And when I say recently, maybe a month and a half ago, truly, it life has felt so flat for me. And dull, and I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing, because I think during the Dark Ages, as I'm calling them, there was so much learning and so much introspection and so much growth that maybe the physical eye couldn't see, you know, but was definitely happening on the inside. And part of that growth was the pain of anxiety and overwhelm and burning the candle at both ends for so many years, trying to chase what I thought my family needed, when really all my family needed was me. It included the pain of losing someone so close to me, who I still miss very, very much. And I know many of you guys do as well. And I realize it's okay to miss and be happy moving on. Both can coexist. And it led into possibly the cause caused by anxiety, possibly caused by trauma, which suppressed my immune system, but a whole era of health things, trying to figure out what was going on. Just a little update on that. Epstein-Barr was full-fledged, rampant in my system again. So I'm hoping that's what it was. We're treating the Epstein-Barr now. My doctor has me doing some vitamin C lysine taurine drips. I did wake up this morning with massive sore lymph nodes on my left growing, like very sore and very apparent in the mirror. So I think that hopefully it's just, you know, my body fighting whatever. Here's what I will say though to that. I am so grateful to be in a place where there is light and there is joy and there is hope of the future again. I went so many months where hope did not seem like a thing that was even possible again. Like I couldn't tell if this was just what happened after 41, 42, or if I was, I don't know, I felt like I wasn't living. And if I'm not living, I'm dying. And I actually felt like I was dying. Even if there was no diagnosis, it just felt heavy. And, you know, I would tell my best friend now, you haven't even really seen the side of me that is fun and lively and joyful. Like, even in conversations, I would say, where people were laughing, I remember I would try to get to the place of laughter and I just never really quite could. And I may have been laughing, but it was more me trying to be like, okay, let me get in the laughter. And if I can feel it, maybe I can feel it. And I'm so happy to report that something shifted in me a month and a half ago. And I fully believe it was me finally allowing myself to ugly cry, snot coming out of my nose, sobbing, grieve Dave, to some people that are really hard to grieve Dave around. But it was like my body was holding on to the grief because I was trying so hard to be tough and to heal past it. And it instead blocked everything. And that release, I remember the release, it was all day. It was a day where I had actually posted. I was cleaning out my closet and I was putting his stuff into a bin, and it unlocked something in me that was actually really hard and but also beautiful. And since then, it is almost like every single day, the motivation that I had previously, that I'm not kidding, I had completely lost for a year and a half, the drive, the light, the hope, the laughter, all of the parts of me that I love so much, like I loved about me, that I was fun and funny, and not saying I'm funny, but I think everything's funny, and I was ambitious and energetic and all of the things. And I would sit there over the past handful of months being like, where did she go? Where is she? Is she ever coming back? Like that Heidi's not there. And I actually had a therapy appointment. It was a long therapy session. And my therapist had actually said to me, she said, you keep saying Heidi's not here. No, this is Heidi. Like you in this state that might feel a little flatter and might be a little more serious. This is you. It's a side of you you've never seen. It's a part of you that maybe didn't exist before. But as you grow and you develop and you evolve, Heidi, you're forever going to start to see new sides of you. So now you know that this serious side that understands consequences and understands death and mortality and understands the value of life and understands prioritization, all things that I don't think I had before. And she reminded me, Heidi, you might not have had those things before. This Heidi is still the same you, and it's more multifaceted than it was prior. And Heidi, she told me, as you continue to progress through life, you will continue to bring in parts of you that are a fit for that season of your life. And she actually said, the joy will come back, and it will come back in seasons. And I believe that that full acceptance of what she had said and the full acceptance of myself in whatever this phase looked like, even if it's a phase of Heidi that is not as much fun and is not as much energetic and ambitious and, you know, lively and bubbly, acceptance of Heidi, who she was at that moment, allowed little bits of joy and hope and excitement and liveliness and all of the things to start to trickle in again. And it's been beautiful. I feel like those parts of me began to trickle back in, and joy for life started hitting like a month before 42. And so it's like, I feel like I got to close out 41 in this place of so much gratitude. And that's the word. Gratitude is the word for today. So much gratitude for what was, even when the what was so dark and painful and like lost. Like I felt lost. I felt like I didn't even recognize who I was anymore. But I do sit in this place of gratitude. And so let me now circle back to the beginning. I said today's podcast was going to be about one word, right? A word that has guided my life for 40 and a half years. And I say 40 and a half years because the dark ages, if I'm being honest, gratitude was so hard to find. So hard. And I understand that gratitude is the same as exercise. It doesn't just happen. Exercise doesn't just happen. You don't just get good at exercise. You don't just get good at anything, really. Gratitude is the same way. It's not that certain people just feel more grateful or have more to be grateful for than other people. No, gratitude, like exercise or any other skill, is a thing that you practice. And that is why so many professionals, so many coaches, so many books talk about a thing called a gratitude practice. It's not just a grateful heart, but you practice having a grateful heart. And what does practice make? Practice makes progress. And pretty damn close to perfect. It does. When you have a grateful heart, it turns what you have not into what you have. Or let's say it the other way. When you're lacking a grateful heart, it takes what you have and moves your focus onto what you have not. Someone once said to me, and I really love it. Here's what's interesting. Gratitude was the way that we started every single workout when we were working out on our show, Extreme Weight Loss. We always would start it with gratitude. We would do a gratitude circle. When I led Zooms, I don't lead that many Zooms these days, but when I did lead Zooms, I always, 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 anyone in my groups would tell you, we started with a gratitude practice. When I created a coaching program at Transform, every one of my coaches started their weekly Zooms with a gratitude practice with all of their clients, because someone once said to me, gratitude cannot coexist with fear. When gratitude is at center stage in your mind, remember we talked about thoughts and overthinking, and we talked about how one thought can be center stage at any point in time. Only one thought. The other ones are there, but they're kind of like backup dancers. When you choose, because you do get to choose that one thought, when you choose that one thought to be a thought based around gratitude, it's really hard to see the negativity that exists in things. And we've talked about this many times before on this podcast, but perspective is everything. My perspective is very different than your perspective, and you never, ever, ever will be able to see the perspective that I have in my life, because no one has walked any of the days in my life that I've walked. No one. So even when someone's trying to understand my perspective, they don't really know, because I am the only one who has the lens that I have, right? Same, whatever it is that you are going through, no one's ever going to know what it feels like to be you. No matter how hard we try, only you have the glasses that you have that fit your prescription, right? Or the glasses, that lens that is created by a lifetime of our experiences and our feelings and our trauma and our love, right? Like that creates the lens with which we view life through. And there is choice that is involved in how we view things. Like I can choose, if I put on a brown pair of glasses, or I used to have these poop emoji glasses that I would use for some of my lessons. If I put the poop emoji glasses on, or I decide to see my day based around bitterness and upset and frustration and irritation, which happens some days, or hopelessness, right? Like that year and a half of the dark ages felt like a year and a half of me looking at life through poop emoji glasses. I lost so much. I lost my best friend. I gave up my businesses, which I loved. And also I needed to give them up. I had all these things. So I felt like I lost my health during portions. And so every day I would wake up and I'd find myself looking at life through these poop emoji glasses. Because I felt sorry for myself. I was sad. All of the things that I was feeling that I needed to feel, I was lost, right? But what that did is it made everywhere that I looked, even if I looked at something so beautiful right in front of me, like one of my kids, like Ruby, who I've said before is like a natural antidepressant, I still could not see the joy that I previously would see when I lived life through what I call my rose-colored glasses. Because I did have most of my life has been lived viewing things through rose-colored glasses. And I actually have these rose-colored glasses, right? And I would put them on. And, you know, a lot of people would be like, well, I don't know how to shift. How do you shift from these poop emoji glasses or whatever perspective that is to rose-colored glasses? It's not that simple, because sometimes, many times, there's emotions, there's healing, there's trauma, there's the big word, there is healing. There is healing that must and did for me occur. And in that healing, with a lot of sessions with my life coach, with a lot of sessions with my therapist, with a handful of sessions with a shaman, you guys, there was so much work done. And no matter how hard it felt or how few steps forward I felt like I was making, no matter what I did and still woke up with what felt like the poop emoji glasses, I never, ever, ever let myself stop. Never. I kept going through all of it. And I will say one thing that was so dang important to me then that I now feel after a year and a half of the hardest year of my life, feels like I have to practice it less because it's a little more natural again now, is the idea of gratitude. It's feeling like gratitude now is more innate in me when I wake up. Because not every day is going to be rainbows and butterflies. No, I think I maybe had like a few weeks of like, oh my gosh. And I remember telling people, I'm like, I feel so good. It feels so good to be good again. It feels so good to feel good again. It feels so good to wake up seeing like the glass is half full. And oh my gosh, like the sun's out and the butterflies and the literally it was like amazing. The birds are, tweeting, whatever birds do, chirping. And it felt so good. And so I, in that moment of, I just had my birthday, Easter, all of the things were so beautiful. I was up, late at night posting and just crying because I was so grateful of all days. And in that moment, I had said, I'm going to go ahead and do a podcast on gratitude, a short podcast on gratitude. And I woke up this morning just really in a hard place, And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to get on a mic and talk about gratitude when right now I'm really struggling to feel like I'm positive today. So I tell you this because I want you to know I do not wake up every day feeling like life is beautiful and good. No, I have good days and I have hard days. And right now, I'm grateful to report that I have predominantly good days, but I still find myself in really hard spots like today. Here's though what I know. I know for a fact that no matter what I'm going through, no matter what you're going through, when you can think of at least one thing you are grateful for, even the tiniest, most insignificant thing, it will completely change your day. I'm telling you. Now, you might fall back into it. But again, like I said at the beginning, gratitude and love make it impossible for the feelings of fear and overwhelm to exist. So even taking something that's really freaking hard, right? Even taking whatever it is that you're in the middle of, whether it's, you're writing a speech that you're terrified of giving, or you're in a low spot with your kids who are going through some troubled times, whatever it is. If you can take a minute, not just to find something else to be grateful for, but also to find gratitude for what it is that you're going through. Remembering that those hard things, remembering that whatever you're going through with your teen, while it doesn't look like it in the moment, is going to be and is the greatest catalyst for growth for the both of you. I feel like for years, speaking of teens, I had said, it's so easy to raise teens. Why do people say it's hard? And then I hit this point this last year where I'm like, holy shiznit, it's really hard. It's really hard because I'm in it with them. And I'm experiencing these things that feel hard and heavy and impossible. And in those moments, I luckily have really great support around me who remind me, Heidi, this thing with that child, it feels hard and it feels impossible right now, but this is such a wonderful opportunity for growth. Both of you will get past it. You just have to let go of control, like you always try and grab onto. But if you can look for the lesson that is in it, right? You can look for where you can grow and improve from what you're dealing with. That's a thing that's easy to find gratitude for. But also, it could be as simple as I'm grateful for the sun. Like truly, right now outside my window, it's super sunny. This morning, I woke up and it was rainy and overcast and all of the things, and it was freezing. And so right now I'm like, man, I am grateful that the sun is out. I have this gratitude practice, and I'm going to share with you my gratitude practice in just a minute, but it is something that I have, as I've coached clients, the first thing that I'll have many of them do is just practice gratitude every day. That's all I want you to do. I want you to practice gratitude, and I'm going to lay out what that looks like in just a minute. I want to, there's a really great quote that I have by Dr. Joe Dispenza. So basically, Dr. Joe Dispenza, he's found, like through extensive research, using neuroscience, he found that our minds can actually have some control over our bodies by shifting from a primitive response to a parasympathetic response. So a primitive response is usually like fight or flight, like reactive, right? To a parasympathetic response. Parasympathetic is more rest and digest, right? And that's where we want to be. Stress exists in that fight or flight primitive state. Fear exists there. The parasympathetic nervous system is where love and peace and understanding, all of that stuff exists there. So he's basically saying that we have control over shifting from stress to the parasympathetic nervous system response. And he says, if we do this properly, it even can support our immune system. And by do this properly, practicing gratitude can actually have an effect on these things. So he says, I love this quote. He says, what you fear controls you. We have to learn how to switch that process. Your body is objective. It doesn't know the difference between an actual experience in your life that creates an emotion and an emotion you fabricated by thought alone. Do you understand that? Your body doesn't know the difference between an actual emotion and an emotion that you fabricated through thought alone. It doesn't. Then he says, when you use gratitude as a tool, you no longer look for something to happen because you can feel like it's already happening, right? So I'm going to break that part down. When we practice gratitude, when we use that tool or we keep that tool in our tool belt and we actually use that tool, right? We are no longer looking for something positive to happen so we feel good. Instead, we can feel as if something positive already happened because it did. It's here, right in front of us. And we are feeling that positivity of identifying and appreciating that the sun is out or that I'm in the middle of a really hard lesson that is going to teach me and my kids, you know, what is meant to be taught. When you look for gratitude in those things, you're feeling that emotion. Then he says, you're caught up in the energy of your future when you practice gratitude. He says, change your fear to gratitude, appreciation, and kindness for just 10 minutes a day, 3 times a day. And this can strengthen your immune system by 50%. If you don't give your power to other people or circumstances, you can be less susceptible to conditions in your environment. Your immune system will say, I've got this. I have lots of energy here. Ugh. I love that. I absolutely love the idea that gratitude makes the hard tolerable. It does. And not only tolerable, but I think sometimes gratitude can make the hard laughable. Like when we can shift the way that we view things, when we can be grateful for what is, it's a lot easier to laugh at the things that we can't control. All right, guys. So there's today's podcast, 30 minutes, the reminder that, you know, hope in the present is power in the future. That's a Les Brown quote. And also I'm going to substitute hope with gratitude. Gratitude in the present is power in your future. So what is my gratitude practice that I'm going to leave you with? I've posted about this before, but I feel like I should leave this here for you. If you don't know where to start, adopt this. Make a note or an outline on your phone, a little template that says daily gratitude practice. And then you can copy and paste it. And every single day, you just make a copy of it and change out what it is and put the date. Daily gratitude practice. First thing you're going to write is name 5 things I'm grateful for. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It can be anything. It can be, I love the rug. It can be, I love my eyes. It can be, you know, I love that the sun is out. It could be, I made it through yesterday. It could be, I took a shower. It can be anything. 5 things you are grateful for. 5 things where you're shifting from that primitive response to the parasympathetic response, right? You are literally taking your mind from negativity and you are making positivity. You are telling your body and your mind and your heart that everything's okay. 5 things you're grateful for. When you're thinking about the 5 things you're grateful for, all of the overwhelm and the problems that you have, they're going to flutter away. Second thing I want you to do is you're going to write 1 nice thing about myself, colon. And then underneath that, you're going to write 1 nice thing about yourself. Because it's really hard for most of us to be kind to ourselves. And that practice alone is going to change things. It also forces you to find things about yourself to be grateful for. Because chances are the five things above, it's going to be, I'm grateful for this person. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for water. I'm grateful for life, for health, right? All right. What do you have about you that you can say kindly? What can you appreciate about yourself? What's one nice thing about you? And then the next thing below that, what I say every day is, what is one hope or dream that I have today? It can be big, it can be small, it can be something I'm working on a year from now or for in a year from now. It can be something tiny, like I hope, one of my hopes or dreams today is to have a connection or a conversation with my son that I haven't had, right? Whatever it is. It can be anything. It can be, I want to run a marathon in a year. I'm going to build a multi-million dollar company, whatever, however big or small, what is one hope or dream that you have today? And then the final thing you're going to write is, what is one thing I can do today to get one step closer to that hope or dream? So if it's to have a big conversation with your kid, you could say, I'm going to go pick him up from school, take him to ice cream, and I'm going to ask if we can talk. It's one thing you can do. If your goal is to run a marathon, maybe one thing you can do today, one tiny step that you can do today, is you can actually look up and commit to a marathon. Maybe it's a year out. Maybe you can go running for the first time in a long time. Maybe you can go walking for the first time in a long time if running is a thing that you're not yet doing. A marathon is still a possibility. But having that goal in front of you, having that goal rooted, identifying one baby step you can take today that gets you a little bit closer to that goal, and having all of this be rooted in gratitude and love for yourself, will change your life. So that's my gratitude practice. It's a gratitude practice that even on days when I didn't feel like it, I made myself do it. And there were some times where I was like, this isn't working anymore. This isn't working anymore. And you're going to have days where you don't feel like it works either until it does, until you realize that your perspective is the glasses half full. Maybe you're looking at life again through the rose-colored glasses that you once did, or maybe for the first time. And then I want you to have realistic expectations that even when things are good, even when you feel like you're flying high and you're viewing life through the glasses that you want, I want you to know that you're going to have hard days again. That doesn't go away. That doesn't shift just because we're practicing gratitude. It doesn't. We are still human. But the knowing that those hard, dark days are going to come, and the acceptance and the understanding that those dark, hard days exist to help us grow into more than we are now, is what gets me through them. I wish I had the quote with me, but I heard a really great Jim Carrey quote on depression. And it was something to the tune of, you know, if we all realized that being depressed isn't a bad thing. Depressed is actually your body saying it needs deep rest. Listen to what your body is saying when you are in a dark age. I want you to visualize that you're probably like a caterpillar who made its way to a branch and has cocooned. And there's no huge thing going on outside that cocoon, nothing that the naked eye can see. But what's happening inside that cocoon is the pathway to a more beautiful life, the most beautiful life that caterpillar has ever seen when it becomes a butterfly. So I want you to remember that cocooning, that season of life. Maybe you're in it now. You're going to get past it. And when you're cocooning, it's super hard to find things to be grateful for. And then when you're out of it, when you're that butterfly flying, maybe that's where you are now, it's super hard to think that any dark days are ahead. But the most beautiful thing about being human, it's freaking hard, but the most beautiful thing about being human is we don't just have one transformation/cocooning session like a caterpillar or a butterfly. We have many. We are made to grow and die and grow and die and grow and die, not physically, but emotionally. And every death we have is a rebirth of the next more beautiful, enlightened, and wise version of who we are meant to be. We are the most beautiful evolutionary creatures on the planet. And if you're feeling pain, I want you to remember that's a good thing. That is a beautiful thing. Okay? You will come out of it. And I just, in the middle of it, the one thing I'm going to challenge you to do is walk through it with hope as much as possible and a gratitude practice. Because I think while it might not take away the dark days, it's going to make them a little less painful, and it will make coming out on the other side more beautiful. Okay, guys, I love you. 38 minutes, not too bad at all. I want you to know how much I appreciate you being here. I'm very grateful for you. And I'm grateful for the space to be able to share my feelings and all of its messiness and the things that I've learned in my life. And thank you. I love you. Thanks for joining me on Heidi's Lane as we navigate this amazing and often humbling highway of life together. As always, it's been such a joy to have you here with me, and I hope that through our conversation today, you found at least one gold nugget or one thing that resonates with you that you can use in your life to help you live a life you love, because each day truly is a gift. I appreciate you being here. I see you. I hear you. I love you. Until next time, I am Heidi.